boy's job.
This is Superhero Time with XV.
Can I get involved in this? We can make it a three-way.
Hey, Mickey.
You like spankings, right?
Paladin.
Woohoo, not me.
Ken.
Okay, let me pull it out.
And Fort Max.
Okay, it's back in.
So, this is Superhero Time, episode 227.
That reminds me of something.
Yeah, I can't place what, though. Oh, well, I'm sure it'll come to me later.
Oh, The Cosby Show.
Right.
Topical.
Oh.
Oh, see, well. I didn't get it because I'm not old.
Topical, like a spermicide.
Do not take orally. So, last week we managed to record just long enough to get the first Ninja leak to talk about. I think we have a little bit more on that front this time.
Not quite as much as usual, though, but there are a few new images. Although they're kind of crappy
images. We got a nice clean image. Well, it's a lot, much more of a cleaner image of the full suits and the mecha behind them.
I think calling them images is being generous.
Well, yeah.
Only in a couple cases.
I like the look of it, though, still.
I think this is the first time a series has had different shoes for the boys and girls, though.
That's a really silly thing to even care about, though.
No, it's just noticeable.
You're just noticing it because you like young girls in thigh highs.
I was waiting for that. Even though one of them is probably a guy.
They're not thigh highs. Actually, you know, it's just regular white leggings. They're just wearing, you know, boxers over them.
Oh, okay. Okay, and then skirts, sure, on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not,
it's
actually
cold
wearing
in Japan in the winter, so they're layering.
So they're not wearing shoes at all, actually.
Possibly, well, actually, no. Yes. At the ankles, you can see where they're wearing little white boots.
Oh.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and talk about this Megazord design, which is crazy insane.
Yes.
In a good way or a bad way.
And I don't know how the hell they're going to make this work in a rubber suit.
Didn't we say this a year ago?
They're going to make it work the same way they made Tokyo Rainbow work, by completely disregarding what the toy looks like.
Basically. And I actually think this might work a little bit better, even better as a suit.
Yeah, the gimmick this time is, did any of you watch Voltron Force?
No.
No.
We respect ourselves as persons.
No. Yeah, I don't blame you. It's terrible, but still. The idea is that any one limb can become
Paladin
the centerpiece of a configuration.
Well, what it says is that Paladin does not respect himself as a person.
I think we knew that when he revealed that he watched Revenge of the Fallen like 15 times.
And all of Crusader.
And all of Wizards.
I did not watch all of Wizard.
That was JD.
Well, had saw hair.
He sounds offended at that.
Like, he's not offended at the Ghost Ager thing, but he is about Wizard. You figure that out. Like, Ghost Ager was pretty horrible and the cast was unlikable, but it wasn't, like, offensively boring like Wizard. If I had to pick between the two, I would watch Ghost Ager.
I would, too, because at least you can hate Ghost Ager.
Yeah.
Yes. I just can't feel anything towards Wizard.
Right.
It's like complete and utter apathy.
I hate Ghost Ager. Wizard just makes me hate myself for watching it.
So, see, once...
kind of like Drive.
Once again, we establish Paladin's opinion is wrong because he's more offended at the notion he watched Wizard than the fact that he watched Ghost Ager. When clearly this is completely opposite of how he should be reacting.
It upsets me that I understood that logic.
We have democratically...
As long as you're upset, that's all we're happy about.
We've democratically decided that you're wrong.
Anyway...
In general.
This year, much like, say, Shinkinger, everything's name is in Japanese, which is going to be fun when it comes to subtitles.
I hope Magenta is leading that so we get under GoBuster King.
Yes. Now, do you really want another GoBuster King?
We can have the Warring Megazord.
and then you get the final season upgrade is the Warring Megazord somehow.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, Red sits in the tummy, like it's a little throne, or he's a brain master or something.
Right.
I guess this is going to compete with Masterpiece Star Saber.
I guess.
Sure it is.
Well, good. Yeah, actually.
It would probably be more fun than Masterpiece Star Saber.
I mean, it's kind of interesting the way this seems to be designed, where yellow is like two-thirds of the upper body.
It's kind of Hurricaneer-esque that way.
A little bit, but
I don't mind that at all. I liked Hurricaneer designs. I wish more of the show was subbed so I could figure out an opinion on that, but
it's boring.
Didn't exactly fill me with confidence when we tried to watch it.
That was a fast answer.
No, but I like that yellow is making like an asymmetrical portion of the upper body, but not actually taking up like most of the body.
Yeah, it's interestingly designed. He's a box.
And pink takes up most of the legs, correct?
Pink and white together.
Of course, because girls.
I thought pink formed the upper thigh above white as well.
Do you remember the Go Say Great Megazord design, seeing it at like Toys R Us or whatever?
Oh, so it's like the snake.
Look at Paladin. I think one of them is supposed to be a train.
Right.
It is a train, yes.
So yellow takes up most of the upper torso and pink takes up most of the lower.
Or white does. It's hard to tell.
Right.
Well, whichever. Yes.
Probably white, because if it's like a typical design, pink's going to be downplayed anyway. So pink is probably just a foot, while white is.
I wonder if making one of the girls white is an attempt to kind of make it more palatable and marketable.
Because they have a yellow, and yellow is typically considered to be weak when it's a girl.
Yeah, but it's a guy this time, so. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're changing that. It's shifting that back. So I'm wondering if those are just... Of course, everything's a marketing attempt, but...
Mm-hmm. I just don't know why they just keep using pink. Why don't they just have white and black for the girls?
There's never been a girl that was black.
Except
a girl Black Ranger would be cool, though. It would work.
It would be different. Black or green. Mm-hmm. Honestly. No, what's interesting about this, though, is that it has, like, multiple modes.
Yeah.
We're only seeing the one right now, but... It's an interesting idea, I think.
I would tend to presume that, you know, more than just red and blue can change places.
Yeah. I mean, there will be supplemental mecha before...
Oh, yeah, we've seen the first two add-on mechs right now.
Yeah, so yeah.
Ninja will be elephant. Joined by an elephant and a UFO.
Yes, of course, the legendary UFOs of the ancient Japanese ninja.
Mm-hmm.
UFOs are at least elusive.
Yeah.
That's good. What about
Even
elephants?
Japanese
though?
Elephants are elusive too, man. We've never seen one.
They're
so good that they just dart through the trees and you never find them.
I mean, when you get right down to it, you know, an elephant's a perfect ninja animal because, you know, you can't ever prove that they've existed.
Yeah.
It's all like legend and rumor and.
Japanese elephants, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course.
Exactly.
The Bigfoot or the Irish.
Yeah. Well, no, I think we can prove Chris McFeely exists. Unless you mean to suggest he's not actually Irish.
I suspect he might be a computer program.
Uh huh.
You know, like Fort Max.
Of course.
I can see that.
Fort Max is a digital entity. Fort Max is Kielcon.
Fort Max is Kielcon. What does that make McFeely?
The one voiced by Tim Curry.
Yes.
Yes.
You okay, Fort Max? You sound a little,
Yeah, I'm getting Tim over a cold.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So you're doing the episode summaries tonight.
So we haven't seen the full catalog yet, but apparently their swords are their transformation devices this year.
Cool.
Uh-huh. Which means we're going to have really tiny sword toys, more so than usual.
Especially in America.
And they attach shuriken onto the swords, which is the collectible this year, like we expected. Kind of like the hidden discs from Shinkenger.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing, except attached at a different angle.
You're not telling me things I dislike.
as long as it's not
eating its own tail.
As long as it's not as boring in the first half of Shinkenger.
I like the first half of Shinkenger, so I can't really.
Yeah, but you're paladin about this.
Yeah, but that's because Shinkenger is awesome, though.
Actually, I don't like the first half of Shinkenger that much either.
No. We're using paladin is a new word now for wrong.
It's a unit of measurement for how wrong someone is.
Okay, so that means if Paladin agrees with you, that means you're wrong. Awesome.
See, on the upper scale, you've got Raven. On the bottom scale, you've got Paladin.
So how Paladin is it to like the first half of Shinkinger?
Oh, very Paladin.
Ah.
But it's not very Raven at all.
Right. So I assume at some point in the middle where it's just like, well, that's kind of Raven, it's also kind of Paladin. Like, there's a meeting point where it's just neutral.
It's an even blend between Raven and Paladin.
Mm.
Like, if you can imagine Raven Simone huddled over a burning oil barrel in an alleyway.
That's probably not too far from the truth anymore.
Oh, that setup worked perfectly.
Oh, that's nice.
Good podcast. Well, I'll see you next week.
Later. I'll see if we can talk that. I guess there's really not much more to say beyond that until we know, like, production crew and whatnot, is there?
May have to shoot some hopes in the foot right now with that.
I heard Sakamoto's involved.
Yes.
That would explain the thigh highs.
Somehow I don't think Sakamoto gets to make that call, but yes.
Well, no, it'd be like he's
no,
saw
I
thigh.
Think it's the
he
thigh highs that he just demanded.
Oh, okay.
That's why he was going to be doing
he that. He saw the thigh and he kicked the doors down. I don't know, maybe he's had a year off from running a show. Maybe it'll be more Forza and less Kyoryuger.
And since Riku Sanjo's busy with Drive, he's not going to be back again.
Yeah, so you know, if there's a decent writer.
We don't know the writer yet, but we might know the producer. It's just not confirmed.
Saban regularly did, if they have someone to keep Sakamoto from being too Sakamoto.
Yeah, it's like one of the problems with Kyoryuger.
Sakamoto's like Japanese Michael Bay.
One of the problems
is disturbingly obsessed with explosions and young girls.
Yikes.
Had Romeo and Juliet laws, you can bet he'd have one of the Kyoryugers carry one of those damn cards.
Michael Bay's the Kyoryugers.
One of the problems with Kyoryuger is that Riku Sanjo wrote towards Sakamoto's less desirable aspects. Like, admitted to doing as such. So...
They could have had a lot of lunches together.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's more, again, like Forze and less like Kyoryuger, then it could be good.
Well, the producer design, Sakamoto did do several episodes of Gokai.
Yeah, early, before he started on Forze, but yeah.
Allegedly, the producer attached is Naomi Takebe, who did Gaim and Go Busters, so that's a good sign.
Oh. Ah,
yeah.
Okay. I'm slightly encouraged. Yeah. It's just going to come down to who the writer is now, which means it'll be revealed next week. It'll be Inoue.
I'm kind of surprised if that's the case that they gave her another Sentai series, considering her last one was Go Busters, and that did not turn out too well.
But maybe
them.
They're happy about Gaim.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's probably more a factor of Gaim than Go
I mean, Buster. Even if Gaim's ratings did start to slip in the back half, it still did really strong overall.
It's a TV show. Most shows do that.
Right. Gaim still performed really strong, like, in an overall sense.
Between, you know, reception and merchandising. So.
Exactly.
So it did both quite well.
Like, you know, if there was a need for that producer to be redeemed after Go Busters...
Gaim kind of did it, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think she's probably in the clear now.
Mm-hmm.
Which would explain why they'd give her another chance.
Well, it's like, okay, what you did for this show, see if you can do it for Sentai this year.
It might also be a factor of, you know, recognizing where the failings were.
Fact that on Kyoryuger didn't do any better in the ratings either.
Yeah.
Sentai ratings are always garbage. I mean, that's just how it goes.
They're up against
sales,
Pokemon.
Which is what counted.
I thought Ryder was against Pokemon.
Everything's against Pokemon.
No, I thought Pokemon Sunday was in the slot opposite Kamen Rider.
Isn't Pokemon Sunday an hour show?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Against, against both Sentai. It's against
and
Super
it's not on during Precure.
Yeah. So they don't have that competition. It's just competing against superhero time.
Good job.
Oh, we're not much competition.
Nope.
No, we're not. Never claimed to be.
Nope. No, we're like the podcast equivalent of Sentai ratings. We have our, like, really dedicated core audience, and that's about it. And everybody else listens to something else.
Yeah, we have our listener.
Something worse.
Everybody else listens to mainstream.
Everybody else is listening to a Pokemon podcast right now.
Who can blame them?
I wonder if there is Pokemon podcast. I've never actually looked into that.
Ask David. He'll know.
There are podcasts.
Is he around right now? Can you, like, ask him live?
I've seen at least...
David.
Podcasts.
Are there Pokemon podcasts? He says, I don't know, but I think that means yes, but I'm too embarrassed to admit it.
I know there are Pokemon podcasts. I've not listened to them, but I've seen them advertised.
I kind of want to go seek one out and just see what that would be like.
Well, it's been a long time since we had Pokemon on the show, so go ahead and do it now.
Well, no, not now. I can't listen to a podcast and record a podcast at the same time.
No, just play it into the mic.
Oh.
That won't really work either.
That'll be the show.
This week on the podcast, a different podcast.
Superhero Time, the podcast syndicator. We bring you a smaller audience than you started with. But yeah, like, from the sound of it, the only thing that can really go wrong now is the writer.
Yeah.
So maybe there's hope?
Yeah.
Well, they'll crush that soon enough.
I won't get my... I've learned to just kind of, you know, not get any expectations, but, you know, well, we can see. I'm not gonna shoot it down either.
There may be one more negative factor here. The listed start is February 15th, which, considering that and counting the Christmas and New Year break, I believe that means Tokyuger ends at 47 episodes, which is the shortest Sentai since Jack.
Huh.
I mean, that's just something that happens sometimes in terms of
if it counts the difference of one or two episodes, who gives a
don't
shit?
Don't usually get an episode on New Year's.
Yeah, it's just a 1 week break.
It's usually the clip show, isn't it?
Don't forget that
Drive is not airing on January 4th, so that may be the same for Tokyuger as well.
Don't forget that Gaim ran a little short too.
It did.
That's just because of Kota, though.
Well, there was more. Well done. There was more breaks this past year for sporting events, though, than we typically get, wasn't there?
That affected both Sentai and Rider.
That's, you know, if we end up with the series being a little bit short, that's going to be why, but it's also something that they'll have known and could plan around, so it's not like the story's really going to suffer.
I
might be miscounting, but I think Precure is going to run a little short this year, too, so it's just the entire block has just kind of got interrupted a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But it's okay.
The important thing
is
we're getting the new Sentai on my birthday. So yay.
Hey!
Oh. Happy birthday, you get something that may or may not suck, much as in real life.
And you know, considering Go Ranger began in April of 75, this will probably be airing on the actual 40th anniversary.
Huh.
Interesting.
Makes me wonder if they might do something special, like that O's with the 1000th episode.
I try not to remember that.
But 1000th episode was great. Silence. Okay.
We're keeping that.
You gotta make sure that silence stays in, huh?
We're keeping that in Ken's, like, slow, silent, like, death of his spirit.
Oh, my spirit died a long time ago. Don't you worry.
Okay, so that was the Ninja news. Do we have anything else?
A couple other things. We got new images of the Legacy movie figures this week, proving that two Rangers have alternate heads and Ivan Ooze comes with his flute.
Hooray. I'm still not really sold on these movie suit figures.
No.
I hope they'll look more interesting in person.
They won't.
I think they're glorious.
Look, White Ranger 1 have a torn crotch.
I hope so. If not, I'll custom make one.
Yes.
I'll custom tear that crotch open.
Oh, my.
I love that they've got the Yellow Ranger's bug eyes on it. which I could never figure out if that was intentionally they opened up larger, or if that's just like shitty special effects. They couldn't make them fit inside the regular helmet, so they'd like sneakily widen the helmet up.
Sneakily.
Yes.
Yeah, I never noticed that as a kid, totally. Mm.
Mm. Well, kids are stupid. They don't notice dick.
I did notice that as a kid. That's a joke.
Oh, okay.
Kids don't notice dicks? What about, like, boys?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, they have their own. Shouldn't they have noticed that?
You would think, and yet.
Hmm. I kind of love the Ivan Ooze figure.
Well, it's his first ever figure. That's something.
Not because it's great,
right?
Just because finally getting an Ivan Ooze figure to overact. Chew on some scenery.
So, yeah, these exist. That's about my level of enthusiasm.
Hooray. Let's see, what else happened this week? Oh yeah, Shout Factory announced a complete Lost Galaxy DVD set. So yay, they're almost getting into the stuff that matters.
Damn.
What stuff matters?
Like seasons that I would actually buy.
Oh. Like Ninja Storm.
Oh yeah. Totally.
Overdrive.
Mm. Well, there's already a season of Overdrive out on DVD.
Yeah, get to it.
Remember, that was the first one.
It's right,
the only
it's right
one until Shout Factory.
Right.
Yeah. It's right there waiting for you. Go right ahead. Knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Probably get it for like $2 a disc now.
Ouch.
I wonder if I'm exaggerating. Let's find out.
Yeah, let's.
Well, I'll continue.
No, we need the answer.
Yeah, we're
to
waiting.
This.
We're waiting.
Yeah, this is the fun part.
Well, Jesus fucking freaking Christ! I guess I was wrong.
That's some impressive cursing.
That's an impressive price.
We're keeping that too. Okay, let's see. What
the
Amazon?
Hell?
$49.75. Only one left in stock. The lowest price is $20 new.
21 used from 1 cent.
Oh, let's look at that. That's always amusing.
1 cent used, good. Used,
one,
acceptable.
One cent plus $3.99 shipping. That's actually better than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Used acceptable.
I don't know this product would ever be considered acceptable.
No.
Oh,
definitely
my gosh.
Straining a definition.
These must have an enforced shipping price.
They have to.
For them to all be $3.99.
I think that is the usual rule there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for $4...
Cheapest with Amazon Prime is $5.30.
So let's see, how many discs? Oh, it's the one disc version?
So it's cheaper not to use Prime?
This is just volume one.
Yeah, that's the best part of it.
So
$25.
Yeah, even at the cheapest, you're still $4 a disc at least.
That's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is kind of cool.
What?
I don't know, we mentioned or talked about this in the show. If I could paste the stupid link in.
Can you paste it correctly?
Probably not.
Your Railway of Lights.
Oh, I've seen this.
I've never seen this before. Look at the third photo on it. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
For $120.
I'm not paying that, but it's cool that it exists.
Yeah, basically. I guess
Neon Channel has a video of this.
I like that it's spaced evenly enough so that, you know, the trains more or less line up with it. Till the very end, but
that,
you know.
If that would be the thing, like if you were dropping the money for the Chogokin version,
right?
That would look good.
Like if you had infinite money,
yes,
which is another $120.
Exactly. Like
no,
if you can afford to blow that on a freaking Chogokin deluxe Sentai robot,
and the people getting three of them so that they have the so that they can give the additional set of shoulder of the elbows to Bill Dio and Toki Diesel.
Well, that's your Chogokin collector for you. They have money to burn.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you already are collecting Shogokin, you probably have the money to burn on that.
Mm-hmm.
If that is your thing.
I hate diecast.
We know.
So anyway, news?
The last thing this week is Toho has announced they're making a new Godzilla film.
Shocking. But yay! About time.
It'll be their first one in 12 years.
Yep.
Has it been that long? Lord.
Yeah, It's been a while since Final Wars.
Final Wars was 2008, yes. This will be out in...
So they're going to have to space that to avoid this Legendary's next sequel, aren't they?
Yeah, that's not till 2018, and this will be 2016.
Oh, okay.
So wait, I'm wrong. Final Wars was 2004, maybe?
That's 12 years. Almost 13. Oh, wait. 2004, that'll be 10 years. Oh, I'm trying to age myself even further.
Yeah, 2004. Sorry.
A decade.
Yeah, but when it's...
It'll
yeah,
be 12 years when
it
comes out.
It's not going to be coming out this year.
Yeah, it'll be 12 years until when it comes out.
Superhero time. Leave math to the professionals.
Yeah. Please do.
That would probably be me, though.
But you're the only one that didn't throw out a wrong answer, so... Good job.
Also a good point.
yeah, Fort Max, I guess you are the closest we have to a professional mathematician.
Congratulations, you have a new job title.
Yes, you're the podcast math person.
Math person. Yes.
You're the head of math.
You are the best at math.
I have problems calling Fort Max a person when I still think he's a computer program.
Fort Max, you're the math leader.
Is that a speciesist?
Fort Max, are you an AI?
Who knows?
God, and he sounded kind of garbled.
That doesn't help. That doesn't help me at all.
No. Fort Max, are you Skynet?
Possibly.
Are you responsible for Terminator Genesis?
God, no.
You know, I saw the trailer for that, and if they would actually play it as, like, semi-parody, it would be great.
That it would? They won't.
I know. That's what I'm saying. If they would do it that way, they could have a great movie. Just, you know, make fun of Terminator in a Terminator movie.
Make fun of Arnold Schwarzenegger in a Terminator in a movie.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I guess it's time to move on. It's been almost a half an hour anyway, so I guess it's time for trains. Go, 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 go,
go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go,
go, go,
go,
Why would you want a Tokyo?
Because I like the show, therefore I'm kind of like the toys.
Why would anyone want a Tokyo?
But it's Tokyo. It's the worst toy.
They've got the Dino Resha.
No, Hyper Resha Teo is the worst toy.
6223.
I mean, sure, get the Dino train, but...
Of course, the Hyper Resha is $180, which no.
No.
Bill Dio's $61.99.
Yeah, get Build Dio. That's a good looking thing. And it's orange.
And it's Akira's.
They all average about 3,000 yen on Mandarake if you want to look.
Right, but then you're gonna pay probably 2,500 between shipping and the service charge.
Right, because and those are definitely EMS.
And you know, the exchange rate's really good, but you're still gonna be pretty close to that 60.
Right.
Also, most of these are fulfilled by Amazon, which means it's already in country.
And Amazon Prime at that.
Yeah.
So there you go.
They got the movie one, too, which is kind of appealing as well.
Safari?
Yeah, because, you know, alternate mode, and that's something we would never get in America if they decided to bring Tokuser over.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's got a unified color scheme, which helps a lot.
Yeah.
Safari Go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's got punchy claws.
Ooh.
Punchy claws.
Is that a new term, like combiner nipples?
For some reason, I never pay much attention to these.
No, not combiner nipples. Docking nipples. Get it right.
I love the panda.
I just wanted you to say it for the recording.
Oh, okay. docking nipples.
Yeah, the panda is great, as well as the crocodile train.
It is.
And is that a cat train? I don't know what that one's supposed to be.
Wildcat.
Is that a
cat? So yes, cat.
Cat is probably a safe bet.
It's cat.
Neko train.
That's not
Necro
bad.
Train?
Oh, God.
The train of
the
dead.
The wafers.
Oh. Cat wafers?
But yeah, if you wait on the Hyper Russia, it'll go down. It'll definitely go down.
Just like your mom.
Yeah.
Well, it's built like your mom. Big and round, and eventually it lays out flat.
The,
if I'm not mistaken,
the supplemental ones aren't that badly priced, too. The Dino
looks
ones
like you buy DSLO parts separately, it's cheaper than buying them together as a group.
The Dino add-on is only $14, too.
Yep.
Which is probably about the only add-on I would want.
Well, you'd probably want the GoBuster train, too.
Yeah, oh, it's $47 to buy DSLO parts separately and $75 to buy them together in the box set.
I forgot there was a GoBusters one because they didn't put it in the movie.
Because GoBusters.
I want the GoHunter one, but nobody seems to have it.
But the problem is you can't use like GoBuster and GoHunter together because they're you know, red components.
Buster Onger.
Buster Onger.
Buster Onger.
Oh, Onger Buster. There we go.
On Buster.
Bus on.
Well, we've come right back around, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, Tokyuger?
Yes, let's.
Choo-choo!
38.
How do we get episode 38?
What?
How do we get 38? Episode 30?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
been 38
well,
weeks
37
since it...
was last week.
Yeah, it's been like... Well, it's actually been like 39 weeks since the show started, but we, you know...
That's crazy. It does not seem that long.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah, it has been more than that because there's been some breaks in there.
Yeah, after this episode, it looks like we're heading into the final arc. So...
So, well, that's okay because this week it's all goof off.
Probably the reason for that.
So, Kagura's all like, do you like scary movies? And yes, Caboose loves horror because it's great watching a couple doing each other in the woods and then getting brutally murdered.
Wait, is XB actually doing the summary?
XB is doing the summary by special request.
For Tokyuger? Holy shit.
Yes, because I told him to, remember?
Well, plus it's the last, like, fun episode before...
Yeah. Plot.
Anyway, everybody likes different kinds of movies. Wright loves sci-fi because it's all about space. Hikari enjoys mysteries because his brain functions.
Of course.
He is the smartest Tokyuger, after all.
And Takati plants himself down next to Mio and shoves a romance at her.
She is, of course, repulsed. Again.
Oh, no, she's not repulsed because she's just completely oblivious. But she's into musicals, and as it turns out, Kagura just can't decide what kind of movie to go see. But what look?
You know, Takati in that respect would annoy me a lot more if I didn't realize he's also 9 years old.
Right.
So I can kind of accept it a lot easier there.
Anyway, what luck. What luck. The next stop is the Toei Backlot Station. How improbable. Yes. Oh, and by the way, owner...
likes Edo era movies.
Oh,
owner enjoys...
this is the perfect chance. And they missed it.
Owner enjoys action movies, and he demonstrates by beating Takati with Ticket.
Good job.
Always a good choice.
What, beating Takati?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Tokyugers arrive at Toei, and Wright and Kagura are all about going for a tour and meeting celebrities, and Takati has to physically block them from trying to barge through the front gate. But just then, a producer comes tearing past, being pursued by an angry suit actor.
Not... inaccurate.
After a moment to consider what they've just seen, the Tokyugers give chase. The Shadow of the Day corners the producer, but the Tokyugers arrive and transform. It's Station 38. Let's make a movie. So the Tokyugers do a cool team sword attack, but Kagura gets blocked by the Shadow's giant scissors. Hikari saves her by throwing her over top of him back in the path of the monster?
Sure.
Yeah. Wright starts swinging at the Shadow, who wraps the whole team up in film and lights them on fire.
Oh, well, that was a short show.
Sadly, not real fire.
Film is very flammable.
It is.
Yeah.
That's why it's all digital now. the Shadow then promises a spectacle to shake up the era, and it's now that we learn the monster's name is Jets, Explosions, Dinosaurs, Aliens, and Sunsets are used to attack the Tokyugers. Meet Michael Bay Bongi.
It's oh my god. I was going to... point out the fact that he kind of looks like he's in bondage gear, but, you know, that works too.
Film bondage, Bonky.
Yeah.
No, no, Michael Bay Bonky, though.
Michael Bay Bonky, yes.
It totally works, trust me.
It does.
And Tokati is eaten by a dinosaur. Again.
Again.
Got it. And I just love how they did not waste a single week to reuse that asset.
Yes.
It's like, well, time to get our money's worth. We're not going to get
this. I hope they drag that joke out into the Versus movie, too.
How could they not? They actually have the dinosaurs. Yes!
How could they not?
We got a little extra trailer of that, too, this week, too.
So Wright decides it's time to go hyper, but Michael Bay Bonky stops him. You can't do that at the start of the story. Wright's not sure what to do, and Michael Bay calls it a wrap. But he'll see them for part two later on.
All this episode needs is...
Like, if they did use the hyper Russia now, they'd just get their asses kicked.
Yeah.
They'll meet Mio and Kagura in their trailer later.
Oh my.
Oh.
Which one is he going to make wash his car?
Well, which one is underage? Kagura.
Yeah. So the producer is very thankful, but can't offer a reason why Michael Bay Bonky might have attacked him. He introduces himself, and damn, that's a lot of syllables.
Helen, how would you pronounce that?
I don't know, I didn't even see his name in the damn thing here.
It's at this moment that I regret JD wasn't here to contribute.
Oh my god, okay. let me go. Where's this guy's name? I need to go back to that. Bubagawara Ranaziro. That's a lot of vowels. What's that?
His parents must have hated him.
That's not even their actual family name.
Bubagawara.
That has to be a reference to something.
Bubagawara at toto.com. His phone number?
Toto.com?
That's what the company is. Toto Satsu?
That's fantastic.
Toto Satsu Eo. Eo? 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 Too many vowels! Damn
I told
it.
You!
That's what's have that many vowels!
Anyway, it turns out he's filming a movie right now, and everybody but Hikari starts assaulting the poor man for details and set visits.
Priorities! Hikari,
because they're 9-year-olds.
Hikari's worried about the shadow monster, but ultimately he can't win against utter insanity and has to go along with the tour. So the producer gives them all a quick look at the departments in the studio, having to stop each time to prevent the Tokyujers from running through and wrecking everything. Okay, when I say Tokyujers, it's really just Wright and Kagura.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Mostly Wright, even at that.
Yeah, yeah.
I like how Wright keeps getting stupider.
And I was like, I think Hikari literally is getting smarter as the show goes on, and conversely, Wright just keeps getting dumber and dumber.
Hikari is sucking the intelligence out of Wright every evening.
Yep.
Oh. Well then.
Some small tube.
He's Japanese.
So finally they get to Studio 12, where the producer's current project is being filmed right now. Or not. The set's been abandoned, but it's not long before the stars arrive, and they're pissed.
Which isn't the set just the regular office set?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not going to build anything new for this. They're just going to use standing sets they have in the studio.
It's probably one they're using for another show right now.
It's the headquarters for Ninja.
It's probably for some drama or something.
I wonder if it's in Drive. We're not watching Drive right now, so maybe it showed up there.
I think it's the office set we see every so often.
Oh, it's a stock. It's a stock Toei office.
Yeah, it's a stock office.
It'd be funny if the neon ball was in there, too.
That should have been the prop room when they walked by it.
It might be. Yes.
I don't think that thing's been used since Hurricaneer.
What about the Christmas tree? There. What about the Christmas tree? I'm sure we'll see that soon.
Well, yeah.
The one Christmas tree?
Mm-hmm. So it seems the director and crew were a no-show. The talent's ready to walk from such an unprofessional job. It might even be cursed. And besides, where could they possibly get a substitute crew on no notice?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, no, it's fine, because Kagura volunteers the Tokyujers to help make the movie. With herself as director, naturally.
I like how Ikari questions this, and Mio's just like, well, Kagura agreed, so we have no choice, just, like, casually. And he's just standing there like, but...
We're all too afraid to call Kagura out on her insanity.
Yes. Oh, so we're along for this ride now, huh? Okay.
Okay.
Brian's teeth.
Everybody else just happily agrees, and Ikari's just...
So, Director Kagura's first decision... It's about passion. The actors give
and
a very intense...
apparently.
Well, you can't be a director without a big mustache.
Yeah.
And she has the sitting like a man thing down, too.
Well, then. So the actors give a very intense delivery of their scene about the pasta gang war. But Kagura is having none of it. They're too intimidating. What it's really about is fashion. So one trip to wardrobe later and we're in take two, with the crime reporters now also dog and cat cosplayers. Kagura is very pleased, but the producer has concerns. She's all, don't sweat the small stuff. What matters here is emotion.
Why would he have concerns? I do love his, like, just his dead, blank stare as... They're filming that.
I like how the actors haven't got pissed and stormed off in the middle of the cat suit cutting thing.
They're professionals, though.
Even professionals have limits.
Have you seen movies lately?
This is true.
Yes, he saw...
Just a Fallen.
Age of Extinction.
And Dark of the Moon.
Not much of a difference, really, but yeah.
And Revenge of the Fallen. 13 times.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Dark of the Extinction?
Hikari isn't sure they should let this keep going, and Takati just decides he's going to pretend he isn't there.
Smart.
Yeah. So meanwhile, at the Darkness Disco Palace, Zed's a little iffy on Noir's idea to hire Michael Bay. But she's sure this will work, because Michael Bay knows everything about making the movies. He's sure to give them a quality production.
Assuredly.
Yeah.
He's sure to bring in a huge box office.
Mm-hmm. So, back at the studio, the actors have quit.
No. Social professionalism.
Mio figures Kagura is to blame, while Kagura is hard at work further revising the script. And she looks like she's having as much fun as doing that as Ryoma does typing. So, how do you make a movie without stars? The producer hasn't a clue.
Kagura has Takati.
But Hikari notices some costuming strewn about, and then he steals a set of keys.
Hmm. He's getting the hell out of there.
Can you blame him?
Not in the least.
But it's okay. Kagura expected to lose the actors, and she has a plan. And then we cut to Akira.
Hi!
In makeup.
Welcome to the episode.
He's been fitted for a poofy dress, and as Kagura rips his hat off, he admits to not entirely following what's going on.
That's
but
okay.
He swears he'll take revenge on them very soon.
See, this is why you don't miss the first act of a movie, because you never can catch up afterward. But Akira is Kagura's new star, and his co-star? Well, in comes Takati in similar costume, but with a much shorter skirt, having been promoted from director of photography. He seems a little sad about losing his title.
See, here's the
one mistake.
Are you
sure that's the part he's sad about?
Made.
What, Mickey?
The one mistake of this episode is the whole show is sort of a Go-Andre homage, and they didn't put green in drag.
Oh, yes, but he has a purpose in this episode, so.
I know, but we should have had green in drag. Even just for him to reject it and say no, and put it on Takati.
Just like a 5-second cut, like, no.
Yeah. That would have been fine. That would have solved it.
So, Wright is the best yes man. And when Takati expresses his doubts, Kagura says they can just fix it with CG later. So I have to ask, who really is the Michael Bay of this episode?
I don't think I want to insult Kagura like that.
Hikari is out having a chat with a security guard, and he's learning some things.
Well, Michael Bay really loves his practical effects, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Kagura is in the middle of filming her masterwork when a rhythmic clicking follows the audio. Hikari, the Kendama detective, has arrived. Yeah, it's the router. The black helicopters.
I like how I pulled that costume back out again.
Yeah.
So he's going to expose all the secrets of this production. This curse thing's bullshit. It's totally reasonable to think everybody got fed up and left, but they didn't. Clues were left, and Hikari went to the security guard so he could give to Hikari all the answers. None of the absent people ever signed out. They're still somewhere on the grounds. And there's only one room that's supposedly deserted because, you know, rumor of haunting and curses.
I do like how somebody points out, it's like, isn't it more like the security guard is the detective? It's like,
Anyway.
Moving on.
So, as the crew runs to the screening room, they find all the missing staff tied up and in the middle of nightmares, apparently. But who could have done this? Well, Hikari figured that out, too. Or maybe got told the answer, I don't know. And with the film tying them up, there's no question. It was Michael Bay Bonky.
Suddenly reminded of that one episode of Garo.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that when the monster showed up, too.
Uh-huh.
It's like a G-rated, that one episode. Episode of Garo.
Yeah. They did not go to a porn theater.
So the projector springs to life and casts the image of the shadow monster on the screen, where he admits to everything. His plan is to produce a film from the nightmares of the humans and distribute it globally to gather darkness from all over the world.
So he
and
was going to just make House?
What does Hugh Laurie have to do with this?
No, wrong House.
So the production was a success, and Michael Bay has the master cut of Darkness and the Monster Z, the movie, ready to head out to theaters everywhere. Kagura's had enough of this bullshit, though, and she's not about to let Michael Bay destroy the integrity of the beautiful art of filmmaking. Wright yells at him to get down from the screen, and Takati is all, but he's just a movie, before Michael Bay Bonky jumps out of the screen and scares the shit out of him. And so we get the transformation standby shot that I really like, with the Tokyo-gers all spread around the screening room.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like I really like this non-linear thing they did.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen more of the transformation from there, but they cut the stock footage.
And just, like, the way the shot's set up, it probably would have been difficult to match that.
Yeah, it would have. But it does kind of make up for it, where Tokati and Akira call out there.
Yeah, Tokyo 2 and 6 are replaced with Tokyo Jacqueline and Tokyo Catherine.
Yes.
The producer asks about finishing the movie, but the substitute crew has more important things to get done at the moment. So the producer decides to keep filming and follow the Tokyo-gers. Which leads into another really cool shot where, after the commercial, we effectively get producer cam view of the battle as it spills onto the studio lot, and he's edging around the fighting.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good effect, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like usual, it's some really good shots in Tokyo-ger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got a really strong production crew. Mm-hmm. I just wish the Tokyo-ger suits themselves looked better.
I've gotten to the point where...
I know, you don't really notice anymore, but...
They're fine. They do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're not my favorite suits, but the rest of the show makes up for it. And
oh, by far, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll have to agree to that.
Michael Bay Bonky launches his film roll attack again, but Hikari says he's already seen it and knows how it ends, as he easily cuts through and avoids it. While most of the team manages to do the same, Kagura and Takati aren't able to dodge and get wound up again, plus Akira, who never saw it in the first place, also gets tied up. Michael Bay Bonky is happy enough with his partial success, but Kagura is totally pissed off now.
Uh-huh.
Michael Bay tries to attack with his action set piece again, but Kagura flips her sword over to gun mode and ignores everything else around her. She's going to kill this shadow monster.
Well, Takati gets eaten again. But yeah, Kagura just wants to kill the hell out of him.
Uh-huh. While she's still really emotional as all this shit's going down, she just starts walking forward.
Yeah.
Explosions.
Not running. Not aiming, just slowly walking.
And
she does not give
him.
A shit anymore.
It's like suddenly she's a horror monster.
Michael Bay Bonky tries to escape through the back lot, but Kagura won't be deterred and continues trying to blow his head off. Kagura briefly loses him behind a false wall, and it comes to a standoff between her and the shadow, her gun to his head, his scissors at her throat. The tension's broken when Wright spins his gun up to the monster's head and the other Tokyujus follow, surrounding him. And once Michael Bay Bonky lowers his weapon in realization of his effective defeat, Kagura shoots him in the face.
Heroes, ladies and gentlemen!
He drops his film reel, which Hikari cuts mercilessly. And now it's not time for Hyper Tokyujur, because they don't need that to deal with this shadow. It's time for Super Railway Buster.
You can tell it is a last...
Because, hey, they remembered that exists.
Well, you can tell it is a last before the final plot episode, in that they pull that out again.
Next week they pull out the Scope Express, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, but, yeah, they're really reaching back.
This does have a purpose, also.
Yeah, today they're loading Security Guard Soul as Kagura pushes Wright out from behind the gun.
Poor Wright is just like everybody's bitch now.
Yes, that's great. He's the least important Tokyujur.
That's changed by the end, but you know.
The image of the security guard beats Michael Bay Bonky until he dies.
Yes! I think that might actually be the best use of that in the entire series, which is saying something.
It's pretty great.
Well, Akira is useless for the entire thing. Just
yeah, the producer and Akira have caught up now, and Akira is still tied with film from earlier. With Michael Bay Bonky gone giant, they waste no time and roll out Tokyo Rainbow. The shadow wraps Tokyo Rainbow in a film screen, plunging the cockpit into darkness, but everyone panics over the scary things on the screen. Except for Hikari, who is too mature for scary movies.
He's too hipster.
As he points out, none of it's really that scary. The effect breaks, and they use Tokyo Rainbow to destroy Michael Bay, making it safe to go see a movie once again.
One thing I noticed about this fight is that they don't have the film shadow grow, but they don't. They only show it in the same shot as Tokyo Rainbow once, and they do.
Yeah.
They do actually make an effort to make Tokyo Rainbow look larger.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they're still paying attention to that.
Yep.
Consistency. Hooray.
And Sentai,
what
the
hell? Good for them, then.
So, sometime later, Ono runs in with a magazine, saying they finished that movie they helped work on. Hikari and Mio are alarmed anyone even tried to salvage that mess. Do what?
It's like a few days ago.
Well, he said the other day, which is vague enough, I guess.
Vague enough. Day, month, year.
Yeah, whatever. As the others read the out-of-context review quotes, Mio and Hikari become even more confused by the positive sound, until Kagura finds the important detail. They went back through and redid the entire thing in CGI. And don't forget to watch our movie!
Yeah.
Which should be out on Blu-ray soon.
So, next episode, shit goes down with episode 39, the beginning of the end part 1, Ultra Magnus Dies.
Oh my god, probably.
Well, they actually did title at the beginning of the end, which seems like, you know,
yeah,
that kind of hand tipping.
Yeah. Of course, then again, they do have another movie advertisement at the end, so hey, fitting.
Yeah, go watch that movie too.
Next month.
And that was Tokyujur 38.
Victory thanks to Godzilla.
Yeah, Security Guard Soul was the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beat him to death.
I know, that's who that guy was.
What?
The security guard is played by the suit actor who played Godzilla during the Millennium series.
Oh, okay.
I assume the security guard was a suit actor.
I did not know who is that suit actor.
Yeah, his name is Tsutomu Kitagawa. He's been on Sentai since Denji Man.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I like to think that the railway cannon actually summoned the security guard from his post. It wasn't like an image of one.
Yeah.
I was considering that, too.
He was flying at a monster and said, well, I better beat this thing up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he's not fazed by anything. He saw the producer and the monster run by, and it's just like, hello.
He even budged from his post. He didn't...
Yeah. Well, he's not trying to keep anybody from getting out of the studio.
Yeah.
He's supposed to keep people from getting in the studio, so there's no problem.
Yeah, he's doing his job.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, it's Toei. That shit happens a lot there.
Right.
Also, in next week's preview, Akira is looking like very 70s.
How so?
Like 70s Sentai.
How so?
His cowboy outfit.
Of course.
That is totally
something. He's a slow-thinking weapons expert?
Yeah, that's totally somebody something we'll wear in a 70s/early 80s Sentai.
Or episode 8 of Kaku Ranger.
Yes, or just in general, you know, old toku.
Where you'd see Japanese people randomly dressed up as Westerners.
Yes.
Southwesterners.
Yes.
It's Akira's Zarum suit.
Yeah, no, that is the point, yes, but regardless. Yeah. Curse you and your logic.
Doesn't really change the effect now, does it?
No.
But yeah, as it goes with episodes, you know, giving us one last laugh before everything goes to hell.
There might be,
like,
you know,
the Tomato King episode.
Yeah. there might be another little thing here or so, but I get the feeling...
Yeah, I know. It's not going to be all serious business all the time, because it's Tokyo Journey, and it can't be nonstop, but...
But it's... especially if the show is running a little bit shorter, it's probably, you know... About time to,
we're on the fast track to the end now. Well, I had to get one in there.
I admire your restraint to only do that.
Well, as I was considering the summary, I was deciding whether I wanted to try to write it with as many train puns as I could possibly come up with. But then the Michael Bay bonky thing occurred to me, and I knew I couldn't, like, make the two work together.
Clearly... Whoever does the final episode summary has to be somebody who can do as many puns as possible, just to get them all out of the way.
I wonder.
Make plans, Paladin.
Big book of train puns out.
As many puns as possible, not just the same puns over and over.
Oh, damn.
Burn, man, burn.
Man, he must be sick.
Fort Max got you good.
No filter on Fort Max.
I should be paying attention, shouldn't I?
Well, okay, I guess that's going right back.
You can't hurt your feelings unless you pay attention, Paladin.
But if he really wasn't paying attention, he wouldn't have known to say that. So he actually is paying attention. He's trying to deflect.
Or am I?
Yeah.
Says who?
Thing. And now, without even the magic of editing, I'm getting the last word. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
When the going gets tough, it's time for reinforcements. When the enemy gets stronger, it's time for more power. When the clouds of danger approach, it's time for a new hero. Soon every cloud will have a gold lining. Catch an all-new Power Rangers EO today after Big Bad Beetleborgs on Fox Kids.
Is Paladin gone?
I think.
That was a mistake.
Okay, he's doing this episode summary.
Yeah. I'd already decided that.
Yeah, because EO sucks. I don't want to talk about it.
I already decided that anyway.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to get a drink.
Dear Santa, please bring me what I really want.
The magic of the holidays is in the spirit of giving. And nowhere is the holiday spirit more rich than in Savant's new collection of home videos.
Happy Holidays!
Topping kids' holiday list is the home video premiere of Power Rangers Zeo.
Tis the season to be Zeo.
It's a heartwarming story that captures the true spirit of the holidays, including Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa, a celebration of African-American heritage.
Thank you, guys. This is so sweet.
Everyone in the family will love Power Rangers Zeo. Tis the season to be Zeo, winner of the Film Advisory Board Award of Excellence, along with never-before-seen behind-the-scenes footage of the Power Rangers.
And action.
Produced exclusively for home video.
Wow, that's cool.
Each video includes a free on-pack holiday greeting card, autographed by each of the Power Rangers, all for only $9.95 or less wherever videos are sold. Next on kids' holiday gift lists is the cute and cuddly co-star of the top-rated Masked Rider.
Yuki.
Join kids' favorite furry friend as he drops in from outer space for his first Christmas. Now, for the first time on home video, it's the hilarious Furbus's First Christmas, winner of the Film Advisory Board Award of Excellence. You'll also get the bonus episode, Furbus Maximus. It's two shows on one video for maximum Furbus fun. And you'll get a free Furbus finger puppet with each video while supplies last.
I I love Furbies.
Plus, Bandai America's very special free action figure mail-in offer. A $5.99 value, only $9.95 or less wherever videos are sold.
It's a very Furbies Christmas.
Enjoy the entire collection of holiday home videos from the leader of children's entertainment.
Dear Santa, I love you.
Saban Home Entertainment.
And this was how superhero time ruined Christmas.
So it's time once again for superhero time to ruin Christmas. This time with Power Rangers Zeo.
Time once again for superhero time. Okay.
What? How would you say it?
It's like superhero time to ruin Christmas.
It's superhero time. There you go.
Look, shut up.
If we were cooking, it'd be superhero time with a THYME.
Oh.
Ooh. Remember that.
But anyways, our second installment of our Christmas specials this month is A Season to Remember from Power Rangers Zeo. And by majority decision, Paladin's doing this one.
God damn it.
Come on, see it, action!
Now I gotta get Netflix to load.
Yep.
Give me like 5 minutes.
You already should have had it loaded up when we started the episode discussion.
You should have had this loaded up when we started Tokuger. Because, like, when I did the summary, when I did the summary of Tokuger, you should have known something bad was going to happen.
Yeah.
I knew something bad was going to happen when you started the call.
Fair enough.
Podcast.
It's just really a question. Is the bad thing going to happen to me or Pell? This week, you drew the short straw.
I think Paladin usually finds himself with a short straw. If you know what I mean.
Ah, yes.
It's long enough for your mother.
Hey, she'll take anything for a nickel.
Even a roll of nickels.
Well, a roll of nickels is a longer straw.
How would you know?
Well, I can see a roll of nickels.
Okay, so some kid's talking to some old guy about the meaning of Christmas, and the old guy decides to tell him the story of the Power Rangers Christmas from years ago.
He could say sometimes just put in the DVD of the Robo Night Before Christmas.
Would you notice the difference, I wonder?
Probably not. I never watched that, though, so maybe.
Oh, God.
I suspect there might be a few elements in common. So, back in the youth center, the Power Rangers are sharing their favorite holiday traditions. Catherine brought shrimp because she's Australian and that's the only fucking thing they know about Australia.
You know, you make a good point.
Well, that, and I think the episode where she went, where she got her Zeo Crystal from Alien Rangers had a kangaroo in it.
I think you might be right. I think
that's
you might be right.
That was it.
Her ninja spirit animal was a kangaroo.
So the Machine Empire hate Christmas because they don't like the word love, so they decide to develop a superpower that makes people hate each other. It's called every other frickin' day of the year.
But hey, I finally know what Kwanzaa's about.
Oh, did Kwanzaa Bot finally give you the book?
You know, right after she listed off what all those candles meant, I completely forgot what she just said. At the second the last word left her mouth, I was like, wait, what is those again?
Edutainment, folks.
Well, this one's Earth. This one's Fire, Wind, Water, and Heart. The middle one is Captain Planet, right?
That's it can't be entertainment because I didn't learn anything and I wasn't entertained.
And of course, they couldn't have any of the actual Rangers as Jewish, so random incidental side character that was.
Well, he was
seen before or since. I don't remember him at all.
No, he was present in several episodes
early in the season. I think.
Yeah,
he's Jason David Frank's stunt double, right?
No. I mean, I can't remember. Was he one of the Gold Ranger Red Herrings or not?
I don't think so. He may not have even been that involved in the show by that point.
No. I remember one episode about computers, 90s computers.
Yeah, that was his introduction, I think.
Yeah, that's the only thing I remember of him.
He was the computer literate friend, since Billy wasn't as involved.
Right.
And Billy's either still on Aquitar or back with his parents in this episode. I don't remember which one.
Well,
family reunion, they said.
The episode was produced...
That could still be Aquitar for all we know about him.
The episode was produced in the middle of the season and didn't air until the end, so...
Well, they didn't really know that they were sending him away either.
Right.
So, yeah, fortuitous.
Yeah.
Or not sending him away, that he was going to leave.
Right.
This is why you should film episodes in order.
But it's nice that they, you know, like, paid some acknowledgement to it in the episode when they said how, you know, they regretted that Billy wasn't around because the entire crew treated him like garbage.
Yeah.
Right.
Really,
they wish him feel welcome.
Really, Zio is a little difficult to watch at points when you know what was going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little difficult to watch, period, in some ways, but that doesn't help at all.
Yep, behind the scenes and in front of the scenes as well.
Well, there is one bright spot to it, which we'll get into in a moment.
Right. Meanwhile, Bulk and Skull are trying to figure out how to wrap a bowling ball.
The only good thing about this episode, Bulk and Skull.
That applies to a lot of Power Rangers.
Yes, but Zio especially. I would have watched an entire show just of Bulk and Skull detectives.
Well, it's funny you mentioned
that.
Maybe
they ran a hotel, too, with Elvez.
Yes.
So this time they must solve the case of the missing fruitcakes.
Like anybody cares about fruitcakes going missing.
And probably when they find the culprit, give him a reward because nobody wants to eat freaking fruitcake.
That's probably the joke, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, Bulk hurts himself with the bowling ball.
Bulk kept going and crashed. Wait, no, wrong reference.
And elsewhere, Alpha is decorating the command center.
And Zordon.
Oh, that's where he got the cap. Okay.
Yeah.
Now
there is a button like presses on the command center.
The bunny slippers that Alpha got actually are big enough for Alpha feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no sense.
It probably is just an extra set of Alpha feet that they, like, glued fuzz onto in rabbit ears.
They just skinned a rabbit and glued it onto his feet.
Yes.
And there is a button on the command center that gives Zordon a Santa hat and matching scarf.
Power chamber.
If I was Zordon, I would be furious.
Well, you'll notice that the next...
If I had arms and legs, I'd kick the shit out of your ass, Alpha.
You notice in the next scene, Zordon does not have that on anymore, so... Thank you, Alpha. This is really nice, but it's a little warm in this tube. Could you, could we, like, try these later?
Okay.
Intro quote.
Ken, you're now required to do all of our Alpha impersonations.
Yes.
Aye, aye, aye.
That's glorious. Like, not quite Alpha 5, but you're not Alpha 6. You're like an Alpha 4.5.
Okay. I can accept that.
So, Bulk and Skull are tracking down the fruitcake, and Bulk just starts eating shit off the ground.
As you do.
Well, as he does.
He really likes red things.
Not so much green things, though, apparently.
Apparently.
And crap, it's buffering again. Hang on. And then Sprocket, which is probably the only Machine Empire suit they have on hand, beams down and hits everyone with the evil ray in the command in the juice bar.
No, actually, they had all of the Machine Empire suits available.
Yeah.
Now I do. Now, one thing that I do find funny whenever they use the Sprocket suit is how no one that they had could even fit the thing close.
Yeah.
The shoulders are all weird, and it looks like it's falling apart, even though it's, well, falling apart due to the fact that it just can't fit anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in Japan, they probably, like, cut somebody's legs off to get them to fit in there.
They just put Koda in it.
It was just a stunt actor. I don't think Koda was born at this point, was he?
Maybe not.
I think it's 20s, right?
It's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean...
O-Ranger would have been 95.
Yeah.
Now I feel old again.
I guess he could have.
Once Sprocket turns everyone evil, does this thing just get really uncomfortable for everyone else?
Yeah. Just a little. Just a little.
It's like all the hate in Zeo just comes boiling out of these actors, and like you can tell that they're not really acting.
Yeah, could you imagine
if
they
rage just makes them go off script and act like their normal selves.
Could you imagine if they actually had David Yost in the scene?
Well, they I mean, yeah. It's like they're just like a step away from anti-Semitic insults at this point.
Not much of a step either.
Not much of one.
Also,
either,
it's great too because like Tommy is totally predicting JDF behavior 20 years ahead of time. Also, for the record, Gaku Sano was born in 1992.
Ah.
So he would have been 3 and probably too small to fit in the Sprocket suit.
So he's still older.
He probably
than
is
though,
still
right?
too small.
He can operate one of the arms.
Yeah, from the inside. Inside of the arm. Like, he fits down the sleeve.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, this is very uncomfortable.
Yes. Even by Power Rangers Christmas standards.
Well, there wasn't even anything uncomfortable about I'm Dreaming of a White Ranger, really, except for that awkward moment where you get the impression maybe Tommy makes the others watch him and Kimberly make out from time to time. But that wasn't even in, like, you know, the outright dialogue of the episode.
Yeah.
Now this scene is just spiteful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just watching that with the closed captions on right now, and it's
really not good by any standards.
Then you're missing out on Tanya's inexplicable accent that she develops for some reason.
No, I heard that earlier in the day.
Yeah, Tanya's kind of frightening in this scene.
Yeah.
Everybody's a little...
We're the Springer. She'd be jumping at someone's throat.
Yeah. Everybody's a little frightening, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, except for Adam. Like, Adam's barely present in this episode. Right down to the point where they're the line of dialogue, I don't even know why I'm here. Korea doesn't do anything for Christmas. Which just seems like...
I don't think that was scripted. I think that's what he actually said here.
It just seems like the outright statement of Adam's role in this episode, where...
Johnny Young Bosch would probably look back at this and was so thankful for that.
How he's just standing in the background, not contributing?
Yeah, at this point, for this episode, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And poor Rocky's trying to contribute, but...
But, you know,
he's trying. Rock,
all he can do is offer tamales.
All he can do is you know, yes man to Tommy and Kat.
So situation normal then.
Yeah, that's basically. Yeah.
And then when
it's
things
so
are
sad when
at
he gets
their
Christopher
worst
Reeve later.
Oh.
So when things are at the worst, the Machine Empire steals their presence.
And because Paladin's connection quality.
Oh god damn it.
See, that's always worth mentioning, because you get the best reaction then.
I don't know what causes it, either.
But it does.
Karma.
Yeah.
Isn't karma the responsibility... Karma's responsible for where he lives, though, isn't it?
A little from column A.
But what's column B?
They chose to live there.
Oh.
Egg roll, usually, isn't it? Or fried wonton?
I could totally go for an egg roll right now.
Had some eggs last night.
Ooh.
But see, it's Mickey... okay. They all get back to normal thanks to a little girl with a picture and a horrible, horrible song.
I do like the part, though, where Rocky's just like, yeah, well, you got a little butt to learn, kid. Jesus Christ.
It's a fairly homely girl, too. Like, do they just exhaust their supply of cute kids in the area? By this point, yeah. Making Power Rangers?
Basically.
Alright, you've been on the show, and you've been on the show. I guess we're just left with the also-rans.
It's someone's daughter, probably.
I shouldn't be insulting what kids look like. That's mean. Insulting how she sings.
If it makes you feel better, she's not a kid anymore.
A point.
Yeah, I'll admit I kind of stopped paying attention when the singing started.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then they get back to normal and
you feel asleep.
Then they spout the message that you shouldn't disrespect other people, which we all know is other horseshit, thanks to David Yost.
Yeah, that also makes me a little
uncomfortable. Yeah.
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 Well, it's okay to disrespect someone if they're gay, right? Because they're not actually people.
Oh.
They're filthy beasts. Just like David Yost, right, guys?
Oh.
Welcome to the 90s.
Yeah.
One but it's okay because Bulk and Skull have solved their case.
Yay! Fact people I care
now,
about.
I do like how they filmed the fruitcake like a giant monster stepping
yeah.
on someone.
Yes. With the cheesiest glow effect they could possibly produce. Like intentionally so, of course.
It's like this is the only thing of value in this entire episode. We have to do this.
Yeah.
That's empowering the G2 glow effect.
Can you imagine if this was remastered, reversion, whatever?
God.
The things they would do to that fruitcake.
The things Bolt probably wanted to do to that fruitcake. Thanks.
I think they flashed towards Yule Log up there.
And so, Skull has a phone in his shoe.
So, Paladin, who is behind the fruitcake caper?
It was Rito and Goldar all along, because they wanted a Christmas present for Bulk and Skull.
And apparently apparently stealing all the fruitcakes from the city and mashing them together into one monstrously large fruitcake was their best idea.
Well, like I said, it's Rito and Goldar.
Yeah.
Even when Goldar, they have their memories, they're not that smart.
Goldar wanted to produce a cheese log.
Metaphor.
Yeah, let that one sink in for a second. Goldar wanted to produce a big yellow log for them.
Well, if he upped his fiber intake in time, then maybe.
Yeah, I think the fruitcake would be working against that, honestly. That'll just clog you up.
So, the ending of the episode reveals it's an ancient Tommy talking to his grandson about this event.
Also, I like how the juice bar is supposed to be like a multicultural thing, but it's still decked out in all Christmas stuff.
Yes.
The king of holidays.
So, like, every multicultural event?
Right. Yeah.
And apparently Tommy got married to Catherine.
Now, I like how hilariously bad the aging makeup that they had was.
And the wig
they just
that doesn't
have
even
it on
fit.
Their faces, not the necks.
And the wig that does not fit.
The yes. thing I, this, of course, the thing I most fondly remember is even just looking at forums back, you know, late 90s and so forth, were the people who, the shippers who would freak out over the fact that
it
they were married.
It was like the reaction with the Digimon Adventure 02 epilogue.
Yeah, but and it's like they never forgot it. And it was so great always to see people just losing their shit whenever it was brought up. Fantastic.
See, I like to think that, you know, Tommy married Kimberly, but then she divorced him to go do gymnastics, and then he married Catherine instead.
By gymnastics, you mean Skull, right?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, and this also shows Tommy has some, like, post-traumatic stress disorder stuff going on, because he, like, freaks out when he hears the communicator chirp.
Because their other grandson is also a Power Ranger, because, hey, that happens.
Sure, why not?
Nepotism.
I'd like
the Oliver clan?
I do like the outtakes at the end, though, where it's like half of it is Tanya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, oh yeah, it's Tanya's music video, because this was a short episode and we needed to pad out the runtime.
Yeah, that could be... That happened in the when it aired too, didn't it?
Yeah.
That was confused me. I was like, what the hell?
Because yeah, that happened for about a week.
Also,
now,
this
thing is
this...
that I remember that Fox Kids would air this episode around Christmas for years afterwards because it was still the most recent Christmas episode.
Because Turbo and Space didn't.
Right.
Turbo Space Lost Galaxy. Well, because the shows would tie up in November, and they didn't have any episodes left over.
Yeah, so like during Lightspeed Rescue, they would still be airing this episode.
Yeah, did they ever have another Christmas episode until? I know they've had another one since, haven't they?
Nothing coming to mind.
That's actually a good question.
I don't think Disney would do a Christmas episode, would they?
Yeah, because, again, everything in November.
Do kids shows even do Christmas episodes anymore?
Not many, to be honest.
Now, one thing that I did notice that I did like is that, of course, during the kind of scary just Venom being thrown at each other, Tommy told the Jewish surfer dude to go get the Christmas tree, and that he ended up having to get the Christmas tree at the end anyway. Also, the fact that all the stuff that they were bringing back was obviously the same props that Sprocket had stolen. I assume that they sent that guy out to go get the tree while they were just going out one by one and just beating up Sprocket a little. Okay, take back. Now it's your turn. And taking Sprocket's pile of stuff back.
Ranger came back. They took Sprocket's arm. Here, I brought this.
Also notable, this is the third week in a row we've had an episode of Power Rangers where they didn't transform.
What is that?
We're the worst podcasts.
Spoilers. It's also Alpha's Magical Christmas.
They're at least in suit there, though. That counts for something, right?
Half of them, but we'll get to that.
Wait, did we lose XP?
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
He still looks like he's there.
Well, Fort Max has this recorded, right?
So, yeah. Right? Next, as what?
Oh, God.
Is everything breaking down?
No, I just didn't hear you completely.
So are we talking into a void?
So, yeah, next week is Fervus's first Christmas.
Oh, Jesus.
When are we doing Alpha's Magical?
Week after, I think.
That's the last one, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Only one of them I haven't watched yet is the Mass Rider one.
Well.
Yeah.
And that's not on Netflix either, so we're going to need something for that.
What, for Mass Rider? I thought that was on Netflix.
No.
Oh, well, I guess we can't cover it.
Yay!
Sorry, but I have a torrent of the full series that I made years ago.
Damn it, Fort Max. Stop being helpful.
Why must you be so competent?
Well, blame Giga Beetle for this, because I had completely forgotten about it until he mentioned it after the Masked Rider episodes got taken down from YouTube.
That YouTube didn't want them on there.
It's like, yeah, it's not a matter of copyright infringement. It was like, ew. Gross.
Sorry, that was unavoidable.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Also, you're Cyloning.
You're Cyloning.
I'm not.
I haven't made a sound for the last, like, 6 minutes.
Then how do you know you weren't silencing?
Because I haven't made a sound for the last 6 minutes.
You could have been, though.
Also, he's not on a Mac.
That's true.
Oh. Damn, Fort Max.
I'm sorry, I can't be silencing. I'm on a Mac. We can't do that.
No, that's a special feature of Macs. They're Cylons. So what did you all get up to while I was gone?
We finished.
Also noted that this is the third week in a row we've had an episode of Power Rangers where nobody transformed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was a thing with the Christmas specials.
Yeah. But one of them didn't have the excuse.
And are we doing Alpha next week or Masked Rider next week?
Masked Rider's next week, and Alpha's Magical Christmas is our last installment in Superhero Time Ruins Christmas.
It just goes downhill from here.
Ah, but next week we have Gigabeetle with us, so...
But we also have Masked Rider.
But we have Gigabeetle with us.
But Masked Rider.
But Gigabeetle, it's a net gain.
Is it really?
Well, not for you.
he's gonna quiz me about oil.
Granted, isn't it that we entirely have Gigabeetle because it's Masked Rider?
Yes.
And that's his favorite show.
That's good.
Yes.
That's a good point.
We've got Gigabeetle so conditioned now that he's basically going to finish watching Masked Rider whether or not the side podcast we're doing actually continues or not.
God, you've broken him.
Are you ever going to release that side podcast? Or?
Yeah, January or sometime.
Oh, okay.
I'm not doing the editing on
that. You
know,
you probably
that,
could
so...
break him even further.
I guess D-Rox
always
doing it, or?
There's always farther to fall.
You could introduce Gigabeetle to tattooed teenage alien fighters.
Well, I suggested that recently, but there was no response.
Just like literally ignored.
Yeah. Yeah. Ah, but when
or
Gigabeetle...
he refuses to believe that show exists because... Really,
he's Swedish?
With that title, you would believe it existed.
It does sound pretty fake.
So when Gigabeetle joins us next week, he's also going to report on his attempt to make the Pop-Tart breakfast sandwich.
Yes!
Oh, God.
Gigabeetle Challenge returns.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas to us.
Everybody wins.
Gigabeetle's Christmas present. Yeah, everybody wins except for you, because oil.
Well.
Oil, and I'm sure he'll think of other things, too.
I'm certain.
Yeah. You know you're his favorite, I mean.
Well, yeah. he helped me fix one of my figures recently, so that's fine.
You're his favorite character.
I can accept that.
Didn't he say, Mickey, that you were his favorite character when he first came on?
He changes his mind.
I'm sure at one point or another we've all been his favorite character, except for probably Paladin.
Yes, yes.
Which figure art did he help you fix?
Cure Heart.
Gigabeetle's got a crotch for me, too.
Basically,
there's an intro quote.
The ankle was literally assembled backwards. So it tilted in the wrong direction.
Oh.
So I needed to figure out how to take it apart without breaking it in half.
And my Gokai Red's pelvis broke. Ooh. And he's sending me a replacement at some point.
What were you doing with Gokai Red's pelvis?
That's the thing, though. It happened while it was on the shelf.
Damn.
Like, it was fine at one point. The next time I picked it up, as soon as I got up off the shelf, the hip drooped down because it was cracked.
Well, see, this is what happens if you don't take enough calcium growing up, is that when you get old, you get osteoporosis, and your hip joints will snap. Just stay there.
So basically what you're saying is Marvel's got up to stuff on his own, Toy Story style.
Apparently. If anybody would.
Yeah.
He made a show of it.
Uh-huh.
Or he just ate too much damn curry and it blew out his entire intestinal tract.
Take your other toy and make sure... Make sure there weren't any other cracks in auspicious places.
Auspicious places?
I don't know.
Wouldn't it be suspicious places?
Suspicious. Maybe.
Or audacious?
Yeah, it could be audacious.
Radical.
Because, you know, D and S are next to each other on the keyboard. You could have just mistyped.
Sure. That was a typo. Totally.
No, but see, Toy Story style antics are the exact reason why you need display cases with doors and locks on them.
so they can suffocate and die.
Well, it's for self-protection.
Right, of course.
They can't get out of there, so they can't get up to stuff and, you know, potentially threaten you.
Or hurt themselves.
How can they hurt themselves? They're just toys.
Well, threatening you is more Chucky than Toy Story.
Yeah, well. Point is, though, locks.
Well, hurting themselves is what happened to the Marvelous.
We don't know that. Something else could have hurt him. Maybe my DN went over and kicked him in the crotch one day.
As revenge for Superhero Tyson?
I mean, that seems like a thing DN would do. But yes, next week we're going to be watching Furbus's First Christmas, which is only available on YouTube because Mask Rider.
Somebody flag that shit.
Well, actually, okay, so there was two accounts that had all of Mask Rider up, and one of them did get closed for content violations. Although I think that was more over Kamen Rider Dragon Knight, which they also had all of.
Probably.
Do you think the content violation is just that they had Masked Rider on YouTube to begin with?
That's a human rights violation, actually.
Watching through Masked Rider has been kind of interesting, to be honest.
Kind of interesting, or like, is it like Stockholm Syndrome speaking?
I'm not really sure, to be honest, but the point is, there's a lot of it that I don't really remember. So a lot of this seems like I'm seeing it for the first time.
So basically you repressed it.
Probably, yeah.
Like sexual abuse. Or earlier episodes of this podcast.
Yes.
There were earlier episodes of this podcast?
No, this is the first week we've done this show. What are you talking about?
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
So we're like 15 minutes short. We need to fill some time.
Do we? Do we really?
With the music video.
Okay, Fort Max.
Can do a review of a trailer for next week for us. I'll take it 15 minutes. Ken, I can hear you hating over there.
Is that loud?
It certainly is.
Do a review of the trailer for 15 minutes. A 30-second trailer.
Mm-hmm. I know there'll be a challenge to keep it that short, but...
The trailer we already discussed.
Well, I talked about it, but I do summaries fast.
Well, see, that's the problem, though.
Summaries fast and entertaining.
Since you did the summary so fast, now we have 15 minutes left to fill.
But blame Mickey, it was his idea.
Well,
get on it. We're not getting anywhere fast like this.
Oh,
well, we don't want to get anywhere fast. We got 15 minutes to fill.
Fight for my amusement.
We could mock Drive's ridiculous new form. I left that out of the news.
Ah, well.
Do I want to see it?
So, for episode 9, Drive actually did do like a one episode story.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
Was it still bad?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Who cares?
No, I'm just saying, though, like, it was, you know, they actually had not a two-parter for once.
Basically, they foresaw the break coming up for Christmas and wanted to get that out of the way early, I guess.
Probably so. Oh, yeah, so Type Formula, which apparently has two tires on the forearms.
Because...
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be terrible on a toy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Articulation?
Nah. I'm sure the elbow will still bend.
But the arms are perpetually stuck at a certain point away from the body.
They bounce.
I'm sure they do. I guess he's getting a gun.
Yeah. This is like his version of Katchidoki arms.
It probably doesn't have a turntable on it, though. Although with a tire, I mean, they totally could put, like, a tire turntable thing on there.
But that might be cool.
Well, it wouldn't be because it's Drive.
Right.
No, so episode 9, they introduced the type technique or technic, whatever, and had a, you know, one episode story. It was weird. Of course, it was also Drive, so it was still boring.
Paladin, you okay over there?
I thought that was Fort Max.
That's yeah, that's not me.
That wasn't nearly violent enough to be Paladin. Paladin is much sicker than Fort Max.
Well, he's been smoking for much longer.
Yeah.
He's still new for Fort Max.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paladin's mostly secondhand from the barrel he's standing over.
Well, you know, you throw enough raccoons in there, and all the tobacco they've been smoking will just drift up into your lungs, like third hand.
Oh, okay. How you doing over there, Fort Max?
Tired.
Oh, did you work today?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
11-hour shift.
While sick. Fun.
Good times.
So, you're saying a lot of people are going to get sick from opening their packages.
I'm glad I didn't buy anything from Amazon, although I'm not sure the warehouse you work at would fulfill orders.
That's why you use protection.
But I can't feel as much that way.
Intro quoting that one.
Yeah, that's why it just comes out empty, right?
It comes out as a fine powder.
I think you need to drink more water.
That was one of our favorite games in school with friends, is kind of the grossest way for steam to come out.
Was that what you came up with then?
That was mine. I think Russ's was, if it just was one big sperm that came out and just sort of flopped around like a fish. The other one is it came out like as a like a string, like yarn.
I think the big flop around one would probably be the worst.
Well, the Russ already thought that one up. You got to think of a new one.
No, I'm just saying, of the ones you presented, I think that would be the worst.
Probably.
Now, if the powder was like, you know, rough texture, like big particles, that'd probably be pretty bad because it'd be like sandblasting. Like, that seems like it'd be kind of painful, potentially. But if it's more like flour or talcum powder, you'd probably be okay.
What about glitter?
Well, doesn't it already get everywhere?
True.
Glitter semen. Only on Superhero Time.
I hear three other people not coming with ideas.
I'm not coming with ideas either.
Lou.
Lou? Like Lou Albano?
Like Lou.
Oh, God. For some reason, I watched some of the Super Mario Bros. Super Show last night. I was that out of it. I was tired.
Did you watch the live-action bits, the cartoon bits?
Well, I turned it on Netflix, so it had both.
So you sat through the live-action bits is what you're telling us?
Yes. Yes, I did.
You realize Netflix has, like, lots of shows on there, right? You know, and some of them are good. You can watch those, too.
I was very tired, and I was flipping through, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize that's on here. I wonder if it's as bad as I imagined it probably is.
I guess that was, like, the time I watched VR Troopers when I was at your house, Mickey.
Well, you know, I wasn't in the room to stop you.
That's true.
I just woke up, lit up Netflix, and says, you recently watched VR Troopers. Would you like to watch some bullshit?
what the hell?
Was it Penn and Teller bullshit?
No, sadly, that's not on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
You might also enjoy Kamen Rider Drive and Wizard.
Now, come on, I'm not Paladin. Who's typing?
Not me this time.
Nope.
Fort Max?
Nope.
Not me, I'm on a Mac, we can't type.
Oh, yeah, but Macs can't do anything, so
you have to use touch screens.
So you have Windows 8?
Nope, Mac.
Now, Windows 8 just wants to be a Mac. It's a difference.
No, Windows 8 just wants to be a tablet.
It wants to be iOS.
Yeah. But not Android.
Yeah, but it wants to be Android. Oh, that probably pissed some people off. Oh, well.
Well, probably not an Android user. They know.
I'm sorry, I only use a BlackBerry phone.
Really?
No.
Oh.
I would sooner use a Tiger handheld game than a BlackBerry.
Oh, God, I still have a manager that has a BlackBerry.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you had a manager that had a Tiger LCD game.
I don't know. He might have one of those, too. Just bring him to work.
Somebody should emulate Tiger LCD games on phones.
God.
You could totally do that, right?
It shouldn't technically be hard. But who wants to do make the effort? Who wants to do the effort?
I'm sure somebody has more time than sense that could do that.
A lot of people have more time than sense.
But not skills. There has to be some overlap here of people that have...
Are they making Tiger LCD emulators?
Well, that probably would be a first step, wouldn't it?
I don't think there is. I'm looking.
I don't think there's a lot of demand for something like that.
I think we found an untapped market here. Fort Max, you can totally make a Tiger LCD emulator, right?
I'm not a software engineer.
Well, you're some kind of engineer.
You probably wouldn't need to be to program a Tiger game. Can you work a register at the supermarket? Then you could probably program Tiger LCD Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. I had Darkwing Duck.
I had Batman and Castlevania.
I had Castlevania.
I had at least a couple of them, but Darkwing Duck is the one I remember.
Let's get dangerous.
They were fucking terrible. Capital fucking.
They were, but in the times that you had them, that would be like the only option you had.
No, there were Game Boys.
Yeah, but it'd be like when you didn't have a Game Boy.
Who didn't have a Game Boy?
I didn't
have a Game Boy before. I didn't have a Game Boy until the Advance.
Same here.
Because for some reason, I was one of those kids who was like, but the Game Gear has color.
Oh, you had a Game Gear.
So you were a dumbass is what you're saying.
I can one up that. I wanted the TurboGrafx Express.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But did you get the TurboGrafx Express?
I did not, but I wanted one. That was the handheld that I asked for.
I got the Game Gear, and it took, what, those 6 batteries to last 2 hours?
It took 6 batteries to turn it on.
8 more to run it for an hour.
What was the deal with Sega portable stuff and, like, no battery life?
Because it was way too powerful for what they were trying to do.
Basically.
Yeah.
How long would the No Man run for?
About 2 hours.
That's if you had it plugged into the wall.
Oh,
at
yeah.
At that
point,
chop down some more trees to load into the furnace.
It just causes blackouts.
It's too bad the miniature nuclear reactor peripheral never actually came out.
Game Gear was a little bit too much for the era.
I'm surprised they didn't try to make a portable Saturn.
I think they realized that nobody wanted to play any Saturn, so.
Yeah, and then they died because.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah. They started to do well again, and then it's like, no.
They started to do well again, and then PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
And then they still managed to get worse even after they were dead.
Well, that's because they could focus all their attention on the software and not to worry about making hardware. So they were able to redouble their efforts in being terrible.
Being terrible in just one area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that effort they were, like, shotgunning out before. They could just, like, focus and do a fine spray.
Well, at least now they own... at least now, like, they own Atlas, i.e. means they own Persona, means that they have a money making machine as it is.
Well, they'll just ruin that.
They seem like they're just, like, leaving that alone. It's like, y'all do what you want. Make us money.
They're gonna start with ruining Disgaea first.
Oh, yeah, probably. It's like, leave us to, you know, ship properties off to shitty Western developers.
Ship properties off to shitty developers?
Well, considering what happened...
Because that is what you said.
Sounds accurate.
Considering what happened with Colonial Marines and Sonic Boom, and
I'm trying to imagine Atlas making
Sonic Unleashed
Sega characters.
Like Persona with Sonic.
Maybe not Sonic, but like Persona with Shinmu.
Oh, God.
Persona with the Bonanza Brothers.
No, just make it like a crossover game, like Super Robot Wars, but Persona and Sega characters.
I'm looking for some sailors. Persona!
Oh, boy. Oh.
But when did Toe Jam and Earl come in?
I think they'll be like the penguins in Disgaea that you summon. They show up and have suicidal funky moves.
Now I'm remembering how much Shinmu depresses me.
Why?
That's something that had a lot of potential, but just, well, Dreamcast.
It was planned to be like a 13-game series, and they barely made it to 2.
And 2 wasn't great.
Neither was 1, really, but...
I liked 1 as a, like... Accepting that it was like a prologue to something, like I could accept the idea of like, okay, I'll come back here in a couple of years with all of the things that I did and everything the characters learned, you know, basically what Mass Effect does now.
Kind of terrible.
One was interesting as an anti game,
but I did like the original 2 or 3 for what it was trying to do, but the fact that it was not continued. Well, just kind of ruined that. And then, of course, the sequel was on another system, so it didn't really matter. like to the point that you start the game on the Xbox version, and then somebody steals your wallet. Like, oh, okay, I see what you just did here.
Witty commentary.
More like, cheap excuse for us to not carry anything over.
Oh, I thought it was a commentary on how Xbox just stole your money.
Well, they did a lot of that. They're still doing that.
Well, mostly it's Sony now.
Well, now, but at the time.
Yes, but I would still probably more willingly give it to that than Xbox for the moment.
Spit, have I officially eaten crow about the Vita yet?
Have you?
I've got to take back all the nasty things I said about it, because now that I have one, I kind of really love it.
But does it have any games?
It's got a lot. It's got more games I can play right now, actually.
Really?
And there's more out there that I want. I just...
Like Vita games, or are you talking about like emulation stuff since you like broke it?
No, that's the PSP. The PSP is still kind of garbage.
Are you talking about cross-play stuff or actual Vita games?
Both, I guess. There's a lot of things that are crossplay that I would rather play on the Vita than on a PS3. Like Final Fantasy X.
Can you play Batride War through that?
But then again, that's wanting to play Final Fantasy X.
Well, then it's useless.
Yeah,
it's useless and it's garbage if you can't play Batride War on it.
Basically.
Although, if I went through a convoluted series of steps, I could get the Generations Kamen Rider games on there. They're actually better than Batrat War, so...
It's just I still have not yet seen a single thing on the Vita that appeals to me except for, like, Persona 4. I can't, and it's not for lack of not looking, it's like, I want an excuse to have one, I just look at it and don't see anything.
Well, that's fair. I mean, you know. It reached the tipping point for me where... That plus the PS4 connectivity.
Right.
I saw reason enough to make the jump to it, and now that I have, it's like I haven't even turned on my 3DS since I've gotten it.
Like if I get a PS4, I might get one eventually just for that purpose. But
plus you need something to do while you're at work all day with no work to do.
Right. And no Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. How's that going for you?
Irritating. My phone is basically dead by the time I make it home every day.
Ah.
At least I'm still employed, so.
Yes.
I should be thankful for that.
Yes, you should. And you have heat again.
Yes.
What happened to your heat in the first place?
Some kind of flood sensor got knocked over or something, preventing the heater from turning on.
A flood sensor?
Yeah. I don't know. That's what Ben said, and...
Oh.
The point is, it's a $65 3-minute fix.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah.
considering a furnace would be like a $1,500 3-week.
No, it would have been like a $5,000 fix.
Well, when we replaced part of our system, it was like $1,500.
Well, to replace the whole thing, I think, would have been $5,000. Mm. Which our system is 25 years old, so...
So you'd have to replace the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, at least none of the rest of your house has fallen down yet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, give it a week.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there will be some other disaster befalling you.
It's only a matter of time. Down, so, you know.
What, recently?
Yeah. Kerosene heater.
Oh.
Oh, well, yeah, that would kind
of... You're not supposed to refill them indoors.
No, no.
And, you know, he didn't really care about that. So, and he spilled kerosene, but, you know, he wiped a little bit of it up, ran the heater anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job. Well, when we had the 39-hour power outage here last March, I think, whenever the ice storms blew through, you know, we were running off of kerosene here, but we always took it outside to refill.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, our house is nice. We don't exactly like our house, but, you know.
But you're not Ben, and you don't think that you're invincible.
Right, right. Although, speaking of my house, the roof is being torn off of it.
Like, on purpose or accidentally by squirrels?
You know, I don't think we have squirrels in the yard.
Oh, that must be where I sent the raccoons.
Or is the roof just made of squirrels?
Hmm, interesting idea. How many squirrels would it take to cover a roof?
I don't know, that's a lot of nails.
No, squirrels have claws, not nails.
Oh. But no, roof, is that good or bad?
It needed to be done.
Okay,
You may recall there were points where I mentioned having a pond in my room.
Yes.
Like, that got temporarily fixed by bolting a plate of aluminum to the roof over my room.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's just kind of patching over something that needs to be done on a larger scale.
If you recall, we had water problems here recently as well.
Ah. Like, did you get literally an inch deep puddle in your floor?
No, not that bad, no.
Yeah.
We did have a hole come through the roof of the closet, and... I'm sure there's all kinds of fun black things growing in between the walls right now.
Sounds great. Maybe it's better if I don't come visit after all.
The real lesson to be learned from this is, you know, to the rest of you three not paying attention to us talk to each other. Don't buy a house. Just rent an apartment.
Mm-hmm. Or at least
you can
rent
leave
a house.
It sucks.
Or at least rent a house. Basically, don't own your own property is what you're saying.
People will try and tell you that, you know, if you rent, you're throwing your money away. No, quite the opposite.
And if you rent
an apartment,
you're
of your money to yourself.
And if you rent an apartment, you don't have to, like, keep up a yard either.
Mm-hmm.
See, if I get a place that I can, like, set up for myself the way I want it, I would not have any grass in the yard. I would have gravel. Gravel in, like, carefully controlled spots where there's, like, bushes or little trees or something. Because you don't have to mow gravel.
I can agree with that sentiment.
Just, you know, every couple months you spray some herbicide out on it so the grass can't come up through it. And you're good to go.
Who is Ryoma typing? Oh my god.
It's not me.
Not me.
You don't need to be typing that long without a break and be typing anything coherent.
It's either Paladin or Fort Max. They just won't admit to it.
Not me.
See? It's one of them. They just won't admit it.
It's Paladin.
Probably so. Paladin, what are you doing over there?
No, I'm playing Pokemon right now.
On a keyboard?
No.
Well, you were typing.
Emulation is bad.
Well, it could be old Pokemon. I mean, he didn't say he was playing new Pokemon.
I guess.
Yeah.
Is it new Pokemon or old Pokemon?
It's Omega Ruby, yes.
So it's both.
Well,
it's
they all
old
are.
Pokemon. Oh, that reminds me, Paladin, any update on Bravo?
No, they still haven't sent me a damn shipping confirmation or tracking number.
Well, that kind of blows.
Yes.
I think perhaps you should file a dispute with your credit card at this point.
I mean, have you contacted them recently?
Yes.
And?
And so far, nothing. They say it should have shipped out.
That's yes,
it should
helpful.
Have.
Well, hey, did you see how I got an empty box in the mail today?
That's... How?
I got a box, and it was empty.
I can't imagine the disappointment of that.
Well, the thing is, too, it's a Legends toy, right? So, like, picking up an empty box, you can't really tell the difference if it's in there or not until you open it. So, you know, picking the thing up and carrying it back, it's like, you don't notice there's something wrong to start with.
Did you tell it had been opened beforehand, like, and resealed, or was it factory sealed?
No, I mean, the box looked taped like usual. You know, they need, like, tamper tape or something on it. Where it's really obvious if somebody's messed with it. But, you know. As it is, it was a box that was entirely too large for one Legends toy.
That sounds like HTS to me.
Yeah. You know, that was going to be my, like, joking complaint. But no, then I opened it and there wasn't anything inside.
So I can go to Toys R Us and buy a pack of gum and they put it in the largest bag they have.
Who buys gum at Toys R Us?
It's an example.
It's a bad example.
You're a bad example.
You're a bad example of typing. Or something, I don't know.
What type would he be?
Well, not a good type.
So poison?
What? Yeah, I guess so.
But, you know, Detroit, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, poison steel.
Well, that would actually make him, like, double effective against fairy type, though. So he'd actually, like, have use. I don't think we can abide by that. I guess it makes him useless for most of the rest of the time, though.
Super Hero Time! 次回もよろしく!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.